church and you never know what to expect. And I do that a lot, but I'm still not used to just stepping into new places, I guess, and not surveying. And as I looked around this morning, and I saw the passion in people's hearts, and listened to the burden with which Brother Al was teaching this morning, and it made me realize this morning, a lot of times we get caught up in the moment, and we're more worried and passionate about our condition than we really are our position. And as long as we're feeling well, or if we're rich, or if the economy's good, or if all the family's there, or if everybody's happy with one another, it's a good condition. And I just want to tell you this morning that conditions are temporal. We get wrapped up in all those things, and we think as long as that's good, then well, we're fine, we're going to make it. And then all of a sudden a bad condition arrives, and we're back down where we used to be. But can I tell you one thing that never changes as long as you hang on to the Lord is your position. I'm a son of God, and it doesn't matter where I'm at or the condition I'm in. It doesn't change that fact that I'm His son. And I know where I'm going, and I know my position in heaven. And I get passionate when I think about the Lord, because I know that I have no possibility of making that a reality in my life if it hadn't been for God. And I'm thankful for Him this morning. I feel the Lord's presence in here. I want God to have His way. We come in here today, and a lot of you don't know me, and I don't know a lot of you, but I know the presence that I feel right now. And if it's all right, I'm going to ask my wife to come sing a song. We're just going to continue to get acquainted with you. And I don't know the schedule that goes throughout the whole day, but I know this. We're just going to let the Lord have His way. And I'm anxious to preach. I'm anxious to be in His presence. I've already enjoyed the worship that we felt. So let's get in here today, and let's erase all the unfamiliarity. And you don't check me out, I won't check you out. Let's just get in the presence of God. Amen. If the musicians want to come back, those that would help over here, if they want to, they're welcome to. Amen.
As we sing this morning. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank
God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Well, I appreciate the Lord so much. So thankful to be here. And I enjoyed that song they were singing. And you know, as she said, if you just keep your mind on the Lord through the day, it makes such a difference in your day. You know, sometimes it seems like you wake up and you have a plan and things are going to go smooth because you have it all mapped out. Things start falling apart and it's not quite going like you wanted it to. And sometimes I tell you, fear can grip your heart so fast. This song just simply says, why should I worry? I tell you, the Sunday school lesson was so wonderful. It just lets us know He's in control. And everything's going to be all right. I love the Lord this morning. Out on the water, the storm raging high. Waters around them were troubled that night. Fear filled their hearts, and they thought they might die. But they failed to remember the Master was nigh. When He spoke the words, the winds all stood still. Even the waters obeyed His will. He calmed their storm just like He will mine. If in my heart, and He hears when I cry.
you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I know the storms are a reality this morning, but I know He that pilots my ship. I know He that's in control. I know He that's able to put His Son at such peace that in the middle of a storm, when everybody's worried and upset, He can put Him to sleep and let Him sleep in the bow of the vessel. I believe that that's our example today, that when things get the worst, we can know who's in control. We can have peace in the middle of the storm this morning. Amen. God will help me just for a few minutes today. I want to preach from Ephesians chapter 1. I want to say what a great privilege it is to be here. I look around and so many people that I've seen at different times, different places, and others that I don't know, but I count it a great privilege to get to stand behind this sacred desk. And we appreciate the invitation from your good pastor. And I have enjoyed his ministry. The little bit that I've got to be around it, it has blessed me over and over again, and we've enjoyed making the acquaintance, but even more so, enjoyed the presence that we felt and the spiritual benefits that we've reaped because of hearing him preach and teach. Amen. If you want to read with me this morning, Ephesians chapter 1, I guess if I understand right, there's a service again at 2 o'clock. Is that right? And I get another opportunity to preach. I may preach twice today, and they're probably both going to be very different. This morning, I feel God's really led me in a different way, and I'm going to preach to the church, but I want to deal with us as individuals. But this afternoon, I really want to deal with the church and see God help us get revived today. But I want to deal with us today, if the Lord would help us, from Ephesians 1. I'm going to begin in verse 3. If you're there this morning, say amen. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 4 one more time, and then you can be seated. According as he hath chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. If God would help me and you raise your hands this way, I want to preach just a few moments this morning on before I was, he loved me. Amen. Would you raise your hands this way? Let's believe God to place his anointing on this morning. God, we love you. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house. God, we count it such an honor, Lord, just to be in your presence. I pray today, God, that your anointing would come down. Lord, that people would not be impressed with me, but that they would be blessed of thee. I pray this morning you'd open our conscious mind to the words that you'd like to place inside of it. Give us hope, God, and give us an encouragement, Lord. I pray today, deal with hearts. God, I pray that you'd anoint my mind, my body, my soul. God, let the burden that's in my heart coordinate with the words of my mouth. I'll give you the glory and the honor. God, most of all, we ask, Lord, if there be somebody lost, that you'd save a soul. Deal with us this morning. God, we'll give you the glory, the honor, the praise. You're worthy of it all. We ask it and believe it in the name of your Son. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. And everybody said amen. You may be seated this morning in the presence of the Lord. Shake your neighbor's hand. Say, please make this your home church. Amen. As I begin looking at this morning, I just want to spend some time on these few verses that I read. I think for us to completely wrap our mind around the good things that God has already done for us, when we read about these things, sometimes it's hard to really understand the good things that He's done without really understanding Him. How many knows it's hard to understand one another until you get an intimate relationship with one another? I think the thing that you find a lot of times in a lot of church circles and even out in the world, people don't love God like they should because they don't feel like an intricate part. They don't feel that they have any kind of real place in the church or in God's plan or in His purpose. And so therefore, they don't involve nor invest a lot of their efforts because they don't feel like they're an integral part. And I hear it a lot. Am I special? Do I matter? Am I somebody that really plays a vital part in the work of God? I'd like to tell you this morning that you absolutely are. Not one individual is excluded today. Not one individual is more important than another. But everybody here has been created in the image of God. And God foresaw us and knew where we'd be and what time we'd be there. And He has placed a specific job for every individual that's in this room. But for you to understand that this morning, I think that you and I have to first and foremost understand God. The reason that God is able to bless is because God Himself is blessed. We're talking about somebody that the writer here in Ephesians says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this morning that this individual is blessed, number one, because he is not affected by time. Time is something that is a human intervention, and you and I have to occupy our time wisely because we only have so much of it. But God this morning is not on a time schedule. God is not being affected by what's going on with time. He's not growing older. I want to tell you the reason God is blessed is because God is not frail. God is not impoverished. God is not impotent. God is not somebody that has been affected by the times that we live in. I want to tell you that things seen and things unseen are at His disposal this morning. And God is blessed, and that is why He is able to bless you and I. I'm not saying that good enough, because you need to understand this morning the reason I can expect every good gift and every perfect gift to come from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning, is because every good gift comes from Him. Everything that you and I desire, the natural things that are not sinful, that you and I long for, those cravings of the flesh that are not sinful. Can I tell you, everything that fulfills your desire, everything that you can long for in this world, is something God is able to give you today. I want to tell you that though God is a Father, and though God has every blessing at His disposal, and I look around this morning, no doubt there'd be a question, if God's blessed us with all spiritual gifts, then why am I not enjoying every spiritual gift that I'm looking for? How come I'm still seeking for them if God's blessed them? I'd like to tell you this morning, I believe the reason that you and I have not got every spiritual gift, though the Bible declares that it is there and it's for us, can I tell you that God sometimes exercises restraint? Let me tell you why. Because as a father, let me tell you, I want to give every possible good thing to my children that I possibly can. But I don't give everything to them that I can. I can give popsicles and candy to my children probably every day of the week at all hours. But I don't do that because I'm not just good to them, Brother Al. I'm good for them. And I'd like to declare to you this morning the reason we don't have everything that we desire is because God is not just good to us. God is good for us. The reason you and I are still seeking and with a passion desiring the things of God is because you and I are on a learning curve this morning, and God is exercising, letting blessings out as we are deserving, letting blessings out as we are hungry. The regulator, let me tell you this morning, is your hunger. If you get hungry for God, the Bible says, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. I want to tell you, you say, I want blessings. I want to feel God's power. I want to be where the glory is. Well, get hungry for it. Make it your passion. Make it your desire. Let everything else fade from view and let the world become nothing in your eyes. And let the power and the anointing of a God be able to reach down and bless you with all spiritual blessings. I want to tell you this morning, that it is a done deal. He hath blessed us. It's not something we're waiting on this morning. I got to get to the preaching part. But I want to tell you this. You and I are not waiting for God to bless. He has blessed. Amen. I read to you verse 4 this morning. I think it has some value and I think it has a lot of power in it. As I read this, according as He hath chosen us in Him. That word chosen stuck out to me. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you are someone that no one on earth has ever valued. I know that we get all types of people that come through the doors of a church house and you never know their past. You never know what they have dealt with. You never know the things that they have went through, the kind of home life they have dealt with. But I want to tell you, if you've never been valued by not one single solitary person in the world, can I tell you, if nobody has ever showed you the proper love that you're deserving of, can I tell you, this scripture dispels all of that rejection and all of that bondage that places you in. Because I've come to tell you, not just somebody, not just anybody, but the Bible says He hath chosen you. God, help me this morning to develop in our minds an understanding of how privileged you and I are. Not just certain ones, but He has chosen you this morning as somebody that is loved by Him. I want to tell you, not just for an assignment. You and I are not just some kind of mercy calling that God went in and salvaged and gave us grace and brought us out, and that's not all we are to Him. I want to tell you, if all it was just a mercy assignment, then you and I wouldn't have never had that intimate relationship. He could have salvaged us, pulled us out, and walked away. But I've come to tell you this morning, that is not what God's done at all. But He has chosen us, not for an assignment, but He has chosen us for Him. You got to get your mind wrapped around that this morning, that God has chosen you as a peculiar treasure. You are a royal diadem in the hand of God. God didn't just pick you for your talent or your ability. God has not chosen you because you are able to communicate well with others. But God chose you because He wanted you. God chose you because He desired you. God chose you because He loved you this morning. You are a treasure. Here's what I read. A lot of us like to feel like we found God on some kind of quest for finding spiritual. I'd like to declare to you, John in chapter 15, verse 16 says this, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. Ordained just simply means a religious official appointment. He has ordained you. He has chosen you this morning. Here's what I want to tell you. To be chosen physically has its reward. Yes, it does. I know that being young, it's important to get picked and not to be last. I know that nobody likes to be that individual that is, the only choice, and that's why they choose you. No, it feels good to be chosen early in the game. It's fun and it's enjoyable and it makes you feel good about who you are. Can I tell you, when you get older and you find a girlfriend and she chooses you, that feels good too. To know that somebody finds you attractive and likes you, it's even better. When you find a wife, that soulmate, you choose one another and you feel like you're the most privileged individual in the world. Then you have children and you find that God has chosen you to raise and direct and raise children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That's a good feeling. All of those things bring substantial value to you in my life. But can I tell you, I have never felt as privileged as I did the night that He reached down and saved my soul. And He chose me, not just so that I could be another trophy on His shelf, not just so that I could be somebody that He could point to as an example of what He is able to salvage, but so that Him and I might have intimate communication, so that Him and I might know each other on a different level. I'm glad to know this morning that I am not just another number, but I am specifically and I am purposely chosen by the hand of God. Hallelujah. Long before you were born, He chose you. Here's what I want to tell you this morning is, you don't have to be like anybody else. I've had mixed emotions on my way here this morning because I've sat under your pastor and I understand his intelligence. And I thought, man, what I'd give for a mind like that to be able to remember and have all of that scripture, a grip on it, have it right there locked down in my mind. That's come no doubt with some sacrifice. It's not just come easy. I'm not saying that at all. But as I rode over here, I was reminded again this morning that God didn't choose me to be Brother Daniel Woods. He chose me to be Brother Noah Hatfield. Does anybody else feel that pressure lift? I understand there are people that's put in your life that is meant to inspire you and make you want to draw closer to God. But God never put one individual in your life so that you could become a carbon copy of that individual. God created you in the shape, the size, the color, and everything that He desired you to be. And when God chose you, I've come to tell you, He didn't choose you because of your ability. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me preach it anyway. Let me tell you the best part about this choosing. It's not just that He chose me, but it's the timing of this choosing that is powerful. And I tell you, when I looked at this, the timing is so important. Why? Because I was not a last minute thought. When did He choose me? He chose me before the foundation of the world. Man, that's good enough to make you want to shout. He didn't choose me because He knew me. He didn't choose me because He saw my ability. He didn't choose me because He saw my looks or my size or who I'd be influential with. He chose me before I was known, before one star was stuck in the sky, before the nightingale was ever taught its song, before the river knew where to flow, before the tree could ever be planted in the ground as a seed. God chose you. God desired you before the foundation of the world. You're not even hearing me this morning. Before the sun ever shone, before the moon ever reflected, before anything was ever done, God chose you and I. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. God, again, is not affected by time. He is not worried about what's going on. Listen now. Listen now. That timing is important. But let me tell you, that's what's been done. He's talking past tense, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's what's been done. But now there's a result of that choosing. And what will be done as a result of being chosen is we become blameless and holy. Here's what I want to tell you this morning, is you and I, as average, ordinary individuals, by the choosing of God, become extraordinary, powerful, influential individuals. How does it happen? Let me tell you. I like to use this example. As I read that this morning, it popped out in my mind again that as a result of being chosen, that word holy, that's something so many people take lightly. And they put it on their signs and they identify it with the way they look. I want to tell you again, it ain't got nothing to do with the way you look. It's got everything to do with what God put in your heart and became a reflection on the outside of what God made you. But as I looked at this, there's a lot of people that dress holy and aren't holy at all. There's a lot of people that view them from the exterior, it seems like they've got everything right. But let me tell you what makes you holy. I read the definition today. Dedicated to or sacred and reserved for God and His purpose. I found a great example for this as I began to read about Moses and the instruments for the tabernacle. He took ordinary spoons and forks and basins and tables and chairs. Yeah, he overlaid them with gold. But can I tell you that before any of that was done, and it was not the gold that made them holy, but it was their dedication and their sacred service to God. Can I tell you what makes you and I holy this morning? It ain't always the clothes that we put on. Yes, I believe that you and I should be a reflection to this world of the holy God, God that lives inside. But I've come to tell you today that you and I are holy today because of our service, because of our purpose, because of our dedication, and because of our position in the house of Almighty God. And it makes me excited to know that I've got a purpose, that I've been set apart, that I've come out from among the world,
just ordinary. That's what I used to be. But because of my dedication to God, I am holy. I am blameless. I am set apart unto His service. Thank God. I'm going to talk about this word that probably draws a lot of confusion and conflict, but the Bible seems to always be up for debate with a lot of people. So I'm not shying away from any of it. But as I looked at verse 5, and I saw that we become holy and without blame before Him in love, I find that having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. That word predestined is controversial, I understand. But here's what I want to tell you. Just the simple meaning of it means marked out beforehand. Or before encircled. You and I have been predestined. Before encircled. Marked out beforehand. You and I are not trying out for a job that we'd like to apply for. The job was made for you and I. You got to hear this morning. I've looked a lot of times, and I know it's a carnal example. I don't believe in going to the movies. But can I tell you what I saw as I began to understand? I always thought that you view a film, and what they would do is they would start from the beginning and film all the way to the end. But can I tell you, that's the way you and I see it as the viewer. But that's not the way they do it at all. Sometimes, Brother Daniel, they will shoot the very last scene first. Can I tell you that that's what God has in mind? God saw the end from the very beginning. God knew where you and I would be at this present moment. And before you and I ever became encircled, before we ever became a thought, before our parents ever existed, there was a role that was created for you and I. Hallelujah. There was a place that God said that will be for that specific designed individual. I'm glad to know that God has previously marked me and circled me. And when I fall into His will, I become a part of His integral plan. Thank God. Let me make this clear. You and I sometimes feel like because we did something, well, that's why I'm saved. No, you and I didn't have any influence on His choice at all. Let me remind you again when it took place. Before you existed. That's right. So you had no influence on big me? No. You and I didn't cajole God into grace. You and I didn't bargain with Him so we could get mercy. But before we were there to plead our cause and to plead our case, He said, I'll give it to you freely. Hallelujah. Before you and I was ever there, He fell in love with you. He desired you. He wanted you before you ever existed. Do I matter? Yes, you matter. Am I important to God? You're very important to God. I want to tell you right now, God is not a responder. God does not react. God acts. And He knows beforehand what's going to happen. That's why I gave you an example earlier, but I'll give you another one. Of Him being in a boat, and everybody's frantic and hysterical, and we're going to die. Somebody wake Him up and tell Him we're in a storm. He wasn't oblivious to the storm. He knew it was coming. He wasn't worried about the storm because He knew the outcome of the storm. That's why God doesn't get hysterical when you and I feel like we've just gone 9 rounds with the devil and we're losing. Would you hear me this morning? When you and I feel like a failure on every level, we come running into the church on Sunday morning and we're just hoping that He still remembers our face and there's something familiar about our presence, and we come pleading our case and, oh God, do you know what I'm going through? Do you see what I'm facing? Do you understand my weakness? Did you pick me for this trial and not give me any kind of qualifications? First enough, come to tell you, there's a lot of times God looks back at us and he's not hysterical. We're mad. We're upset. You don't understand where I'm at. You don't know what I'm going through. And he tries to tell us, no, it's not that I don't know. It's not that I don't understand. It's that I understand perfectly. I saw the end of this fight and I know you're going to win. The fight's fixed. It ain't got nothing to do with your ability. It's got everything to do with the fact that I've already won it. Man, you ought to be shouting right now saying, thank God I've been beat up, but I haven't been knocked out. I've been somebody that's gone through the fire. I've waded through the flood, but there's a God that's in control of my every step. He knows where I'm at. He knows what I'm facing. Thank God he knows beforehand. Sinner friend, I'm trying to appeal to you this morning. Christian believer, I'm trying to lay out a cause for you this morning to lift up your head and not be afraid. Because I've come to tell you, God knows exactly where you are. Let me tell you something. Again, it doesn't have anything to do with qualifications. God made it so that whosoever will He didn't put a specific race. He didn't put a specific blood type. He didn't say anything about your past. Whosoever will, let him come. He didn't know what I'd do. Yes, he did. He knew your weaknesses, your frailty. I got to get to the part that I need to deal with us right here. Here's what I want to tell you as I begin to look at this and understand God's love for us. It's an explanation of His creation. We look at our design and our reflection of who He is and understand that we were created in His likeness, formed in His own image. And what we find is that we were an object of His affection. From the very moment He began to finger our form out in the dirt, we were something that was His greatest masterpiece. We were something that was affectioned and loved and desired. As I read this, I see where sin came into the garden and its whole plan was this. The devil thought that if he could influence the life of God's greatest project and if he could infiltrate the purity and fill it with sin, then God would be stumped. Because God's law is that anything that's filled with sin cannot be in His presence. So the devil thought, if I can get sin in His greatest object of affection and desire, then He'll have to compromise. Oh, you got to hear this morning. He'll have to rearrange. He'll have to react. He'll have to respond. And He cannot respond unjustly because of who He is. But as I began reading and seeing that the devil had thought he had created a dilemma for God as he slithered in and out of the garden and deceived their eyes and deceived their mind and infiltrated and penetrated that pure heart and filled it with iniquity and sin, he felt like he was justified and had done everything he needed to do. Felt good. Felt like he had accomplished his goal. But here's what I've come to tell you this morning. I started looking at this and I find many times we preach God went to work on a solution. No, I've come to tell you God did not go to work on a solution. God did not go searching through heaven. God help me this morning. There's times we preach God searched through heaven. No, I've come to tell you it was identified from the very beginning that there was somebody that was able to remove every sin, to wash away every stain. I find in the 13th chapter of Revelation that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And what the devil did not understand was that Jesus' purpose before there was ever creation, Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. But all the while, the Word knew His purpose. And He desired to fulfill it. He wanted to redeem you. He did not have to react. For at the very beginning, there was a plan of redemption that was already put in place, that if you and I were to fall, that He would come down and rescue that that He loves and that that He's chosen. Somebody raise your hand and thank God. Thank God. Thank God. From before God created time or the universe, He devised a plan of redemption. Before He put any thought into gravity, before He put any thought to the depths and widths of all the things that are created and formed, He thought of you and I. He thought of our vulnerability. Oh. He thought of the fact that He was giving us opportunity of choice. Whatever you chose would be your end. But if you made a wrong choice, He devised a means of redemption. Hallelujah. Here's what I want to tell you this morning. As I looked at this, I'm coming to a close, but when He predestinated us, there's people that feel like that's not fair. So He's going to predict my outcome. No, you're a free moral agent. He knows your attitudes. He knows your longings, and He knows your point break. He knows everything about us. Yet He gives us up to ourselves when it comes to choice. But through predestination, He had something very specific in mind. The Bible said He was adopting us. Here's what I've come to understand. Having predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now understand that. It's His good pleasure to die on a cross so that you can go free. I'm going to tell you again, this was not just some kind of mercy expedition that came in, brought you out. No, it was His good will for you to be saved before the operation was ever made. But as I read this, here's what I come to understand. He wanted us for His own. He wanted to adopt us as His own children. Here's what you got to understand. There are kids that are born every day in this world. How many knows there are kids that are born that are not wanted? And momentarily, as they exit the womb, they are rushed off to a room, prepared, and adoption papers are signed. Because the parent did not desire that child. That's a horrific thought, but let me give you some good news. There's never been a child that's been adopted that wasn't wanted. You don't adopt them and predict the genes they're going to have. You accept what you get. Come to tell you, He did not put pre-qualifications on who and you and I would be or how we would come to Him. No, no, no. What He did is He said, I will adopt you the way you are. And then the way you are, we'll go to work on that later. But I'll take you however you come. Hallelujah. Some come and they're weak and they're feeble. Let me read this to you this morning in closing. Let me tell you what I found in the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is what Paul said. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. No, no. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and the base things of the world and the things which are despised. God hath chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. There's nobody that can swell up their chest and talk about what a great choice God made when He picked you and I. For He found us in our weakness, and He found us in our displeasure. He found us in a place that was despicable, and yet He chose us and adopted us and signed the paper before you and I ever knew anything about it. Holy Ghost.
Your mainstay, that I know it all, and I know you. I know even this body and where I desire to take it. I know this church for you are mine, and where I would take you and what I would do for you. The plan is not yours to make. The path is not yours to decide. It is I who have done it, saith the Lord. Your role is to merely submit to me and put your confidence in me and know that I am God. I have your best interest at heart. I will do what is good for you and right for you. And I will bring you home to glory as you yield your life to me. Let me have full control and know that my design is right and best for you. For I, the Lord, know it all, saith God. Thank God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Stand with me all over this building. The Holy Ghost is preparing our hearts. Oh, hallelujah. I don't believe He'd come down with confirmation if it wasn't specifically in His will. For you to understand you're a specific part of His integral design. Not a last minute thought. Not something He chose to put in just because of, well, your circumstance. No, God knows you. God loves you. He deeply cares for you. He wants to be more than just a friend, an acquaintance. He wants to be an intimate God that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all you could ask, think, or imagine. Heads are still bowed in reverence to what we feel right now in this holy, holy place that we've come to worship. I feel in my spirit there's people here that aren't right with God, that need to know God in a better way, that need to give their life completely to Him. And I'm asking you this morning to allow yourself to become subject to the calling, the choosing, the ordaining of your life's purpose is to be where He is, to be a part of His design, to fulfill His purpose for your life. God doesn't always work to make us happy, but God works to make us saved. And can I tell you, when you are saved, you will be happy this morning. There's a life probably standing close to you that is influential, that you can look to and see the happiness, the joy of the Lord that has come through their salvation. I'm asking you this morning, as my wife starts making her way to this piano, the church is praying, saints of God are providing an atmosphere that sinners could get saved in. I'm asking you, why don't you take inventory of your life this morning? Why don't you at this very moment understand that God loves you and that God created a specific place for you, that He desires you to be a part of this family. This family of God. Oh God, would you save somebody this morning? This conviction that we feel in the room, God, we know is not by accident. Holy Ghost. God, I pray that they submit their life to you. God, choose today. Hallelujah. His choice has been made. You're a part of the family. You just have to choose to respond. Is there anybody this morning Anybody in this congregation would step out of their pew and say, I want to be a part of that family of God. I submit my life to Him. I understand, I've come to this understanding that I'm a sinner. That without forgiveness and without His grace, I've got no means of making it to heaven. I want to be saved. I want to be adopted this morning. Would you come? If there's even a question in your mind, a thought that wonders, could it be that I'm not right? I'd make sure this morning. I'd step out of my pew, I'd run to this altar, and I'd embrace what God's given you today. Church, continue praying. Continue praying. I'm going to extend it just another moment. Is there anybody? Anybody while the Lord is dealing? Just step out of that pew. You'll come to this altar. Accept that grace that God's provided for you today. Anybody. I'm not going to sustain this altar call very long. But I want to give you opportunity. Whoever you may be. To know the Lord this morning. To find His forgiveness. To find your place at the foot of the cross. To know Him in a real and intimate way. God, we ask that Your will would be done. God, that we'd move in step with You. That whatever Your desire would be, God, we'd follow it to its fullest capacity. Have Your way in this altar this morning, God. Speak to our hearts. Save somebody's soul. God, we're waiting for them. God, we're giving them ample time. They've heard the Word this morning. They understand that You love them. Deeply love them. Save somebody today, God, I pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Saints of God, would you find you a place to pray? You can come thankful this morning because of what He's already done in your life. Because of the position that you've already got in His family today. But I'm going to ask you to pray for just a moment as you come to this altar. Ask God to save somebody today, to add somebody to His family. Friend, if you're here lost today, you're our special guest. And we want you to be a part. Be a part of this family of God. Come on, church. Let's call on the name of God. Hallelujah.
He casts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore.
Come on, church.
He sees every sparrow.
Let's create that atmosphere with our thanksgiving this morning. Our praise. Oh, hallelujah.
Made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything. Of all creatures great and small. And He knows my name. Every step.
Fine, 'cause He knows my name. Hallelujah, thank God.
I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life.
He knows my name.
can't tell you what's in store, and I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed, and He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, and He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God bless my brothers and sisters. God, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Show me all of my wrongs. Strong, oh, save me and restore my soul. For You're the God of the second chance. And show me all of my wrongs. Forgive me and make me strong. God of a second chance.
My father has a great big family with many other children besides me. And if you're wondering how he divides his time, just let me say I never stand in line. 'Cause he loves me like I was his only child. I've never felt such love before. I could never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. Yes, he loves me like I was his only child. I've never felt such love before. I can never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. He never favors me above the rest. Oh, but I can't help but say I am blessed. He treats me the best, I often say. But then all my father's children feel that same way. 'Cause he loves me like I was his only child. I've never felt such love before. I can never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. He never favored me above the rest. Oh, but I can't help but say I'm so blessed. He treats me the best, I often say. But then all my father's children feel that same way. 'Cause he loves me like I was his only child. I've never felt such love before. I can never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In the stillness of the temple, we heard Jehovah drawing near, and then he cried out in the silence, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Speak to me,
for I am ready
to know your will
and to know your way.
And when you call
me, I will answer. Speak to me,
and
I'll obey. For I am ready
to know your will
and to know your way.
And when you call me, I will answer.
Speak to me,
and
I'll obey.
Even now, Lord, and how it makes my heart rejoice, and my answer will be yes, Lord, every time I hear your voice, and whatever you may bid me, that's what I
for I am ready.
I want to know
your will.
I need to know your way. And when you call
me, I will answer.
Speak to me,
and I'll obey.
Oh, speak
to me, for to know your way.
And when
you call
me,
I will answer. Speak to me,
and
I'll obey.
Even now, Lord, I hear you calling.
For I am ready
to know
your will
and
to know your way.
And when
you call
me,
I will answer.
Oh, speak to me.
Church, I know there's still some praying. But those of you that are online, just raise a hand and say that to God.
Speak to me.
Are you ready?
I want to know your will. I need to know your way. And when you call me, I
will answer. Come on, let's worship Him, church.
Oh, speak to me. And I'll obey. Oh,
speak to me, for I am ready. to know your will and to know your way. I know when you call me, I will answer. Speak to me and I'll obey. And
is good this morning, church. He knows it all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us stand together this morning. Thank the Lord for His Word today. Thank God that our lives are not an accident. Our salvation's not an accident. Amen. Us being here this morning is not an accident. I believe that. I don't believe anybody's here this morning by chance. I don't believe that. And we need to understand that. God knew where you'd be. He's ordered that. He's ordained that. He knew where we would be today. And He knows where we'll be tomorrow. If we give our today to Him, He'll take care of the tomorrow. Amen. We're going to take a little break and eat us some meal and spend some time in fellowship. And when we're finished, we'll come back in here and go at it again. Amen. And give praise to the Lord. Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. We thank You, God, for reminding us of, oh, hallelujah, Your foreknowledge, Your predestination for us. You have determined it, God. You've determined to conform us to Your image, Lord. You've determined, Lord, that we should be before You holy, without blame and in love. We thank You, God, because our mind is insufficient to choose the path. Our mind and intellect, Lord, is insufficient to guide and govern our life. But You, Lord, the Creator of it all, knows what is needful. You know, God, what is best for us. And we thank You for that. We have discovered that time and time again, and we praise You this morning. God, what confidence it is, what confidence we have in You when we know that You are in control of all things. Bless, Lord, our afternoon, our time together. Bless our meal. Bless the fellowship. Let it indeed be a feast of charity. Let it be a love feast today, that while we sit around the table and share together, that there would be, Lord, a camaraderie, that there would be, Lord, a sense of brotherhood. And Lord, those here today that are lost, if they share a meal, that they would feel that love and they would feel that unity and know that You, Father, have sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And we just ask You, God, right now, that Your blessing be upon us this afternoon in the service, that You will guide and direct and touch Brother Hatfield again to minister the word. And we're going to give You praise and thanks. Amen. Amen. Greet your brothers. Greet our visitors. We hope all of you will stay and share lunch with us and stay for the afternoon service. Amen.